Hi there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations, one's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, I'm Dan for Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers, here to share the easiest way to buy tires. Come to Dobbs. With the best tire brands and the biggest inventory, you'll get your tires the same day at the lowest price, guaranteed. Next time you need tires, get into Dobbs.
It's time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
So we got a little bit of Cardinals news to pass along. We'll get to this in about 15 minutes or so. The Cardinals have recalled starting pitcher Johan Oviedo from Memphis. He's riding that bus back and forth, and he is back to St. Louis. Carlos Martinez, who twisted his ankle in the celebration with Jack Flaherty last week, has been placed on the 10-day IL. He said that his ankle was fine after his start. The performance suggested otherwise, and now he's going down on the injured list. So Carlos on the IL, Johan Oviedo back up. Johan Oviedo started one day after Carlos, so I would imagine he's going to get the start for the Cardinals on Friday.
What's worse?
Tsunami's not coming.
What's worse, injuring your ankle from a celebration or injuring your shoulder from a celebration that Cody Bellinger did in the World Series?
Cody Bellinger's was bad. Yeah. That one required surgery.
That hurt from watching on television.
We'll talk more about Carlos coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, but it's not every day. You've got Jeremy Rutherford calling you during the middle of a segment saying, hey, I'm right in the neighborhood. You guys mind if I come in for my hit instead of doing it on the phone? I was like, of course, JR. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Yeah, I was driving down Olive here. I was right behind the Brad Thompson bus that was bringing Oviedo into town here, that shuttle.
Changed its name to now.
Come in and see you guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man. So people can find your work over at The Athletic. They should subscribe there. They can follow you on Twitter at JP Rutherford. You're not joining us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, but you are in studio. We appreciate that. What'd you make of the game last night for the Blues? I mean, it's meaningless. There is literally nothing on the line for either of these two teams. Was there anything that stood out to you where you're like, okay, that's something that I can glean from this?
I think this is a team that's looking for the playoffs to start. I think you can tell it. I think that, you don't want to get injured in the last couple regular season games when there's nothing to gain. And so I don't know if you guys saw the Zoom with Craig Berube last night, but he was asked about, did you like the style? No. he said definitely not. So, you know, it's just when you get to this point in the season, you just want the real games to start, and that's what I saw.
Well, and you got the lines. You're treading on the line, JR, of getting back into that offensive kind of drought that we saw in the seven-game losing streak, and I know there are games that have just been so difficult to play against, but what are you making of the line combinations right now? Because it really seems like Craig Berube's trying to find somebody that works well with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron.
Yeah, and they had Ivan Barbashev up there last night, and he's played well when he's been up there earlier in the season prior to his injury. I don't know that we'd see that once the playoffs start, and I was not surprised, but last night when Craig Berube said doesn't know if he would go with Bozak, Schwartz, and Schenn like he's rolled out the past few games in the playoffs. So maybe he's got something else in store when this starts. I think a lot of it's going to come down to the matchup. I mean, you specifically put some lines together based on who you're going to go up against, and they're going to have to wait to see who that's going to be.
So let's talk about that for a second. Colorado made it interesting last night. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights, so now we don't know yet if it's going to be Vegas or Colorado. Let's start with this. What do you think is the better matchup for the Blues? Like, if you're a Blues fan, which one do you think I should be rooting for?
I think it's Colorado, and right now Colorado controls its own destiny. If they win these last two games against LA, you know, they can come away with the division, and then it's a situation where it'd be Blues and Avs. And to me, I think that's the better matchup. And gosh, does it sound crazy to wish Nathan MacKinnon upon your team and the speed of that team? And you know, I realize that when the Blues did play them a lot lately, they didn't have Rantanen, their leading scorer. They didn't have Grubauer, so that could be a very tough matchup. It's just, gosh, Alex, you and I have been watching it all year with the matchups against Vegas, and they just keep coming at you. And, you know, Preko looks better, so maybe he can handle it better than you did earlier in the season when you're really relying on Falk and Krug. But I just think that Vegas is a really, really good team that's going to keep coming at you in waves. And to me, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Colorado.
Yeah, I'm with you guys there. And then we talked about it earlier. Like, you outscored them at even strength this season. Power play's what's killed you against Colorado. The part for me, though, is where I go into the depth of scoring, and you go with the matchups like we were talking about, right? Like, your top line, O'Reilly and Perron, is going to shut down the opposite top line. Their task is going to either be the Rantanen and McKinnon line, or it's going to be Stone and Pacioretty. But if you look at Colorado's depth, Colorado's got a lot of lines that can make you pay, and we've seen it. Vegas does as well, but I feel like if you get past that second line with Vegas, their third and fourth line may not be as dangerous as Colorado's third and fourth line.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I just think that those two teams, I believe, I know people are going to disagree because the Blues have played some very close games with Colorado. I think those teams are, you know, up another level on the Blues. And so, you know, in terms of breaking the game down to the bottom six, mm-hmm. I agree with you there. But I think that if the Blues don't have the O'Reillys and the Shins and the Schwartzes and those guys leading the way, then they're not going to beat either one of those teams anyway. So come playoff time, do you need Blay to chip in a goal? Do you need, you know, something like that? For sure. But the Blues' top guys are going to have to come through if they're going to have any chance of beating this team in a seven-game series.
So that being said, let's go ahead and focus on the fourth line here for a moment, JR.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because last night we saw Dakota Joshua again. He looked great. I enjoy watching him play. He had the physicality. You saw the big hit leading to the fight, or the skirmish, I guess, whatever you want to call that. Do you think that if the Blues play Vegas in particular, because of the physical style that they play, do you think that's a matchup where Dakota Joshua could make some sense for the Blues to throw out there as a fourth line center?
Yeah, I just don't see it. I think because you're hoping to get Tarasenko back, you're hoping to get Sammy Blay back. You know, let's not forget about Klim Kostin. He might play in that final game of the regular season and see how he looks. I just don't know if there's going to be room for Joshua. And I tweeted last night, gosh, how about some talk about keeping him in the lineup? He just brings that element that the Blues don't have, and I think he could help you. But I think it just might be a numbers game with him. I really do.
Who do you think centers that fourth line then? Do you think they go back to Barbashev down there?
Yeah, I think it could be Barbashev. And he's, you know, I think he's more than capable of doing that.
The decisions for the defense is the part that's interesting with me. And I talked about this with Jamie yesterday on our pregame show. Nico Mikkola didn't play yesterday and day-to-day, according to Craig Berube, after the game. And then we found out with the Jake Walman stuff, which Doug Armstrong believes that's a negative or a false positive. But when Dunn and Krug are healthy, do you go with those guys? Because Dunn's a guy who's won a Stanley Cup, and Torrey Krug's a guy who has been to 75 playoff games during his time with the Boston Bruins. But then you're taking out a Nico Mikkola presence, which I think is a tough thing for Craig Berube to do, because not only do you have the reach of Nico Mikkola, but you have that physicality where he doesn't like anybody anywhere near the crease after a whistle. You know, like we saw that when he was playing against Vegas.
Yeah, I've really liked Mikkola this time through. I think early in the season when he first got in the lineup, he was playing great, guys. And then there was just a lull with his game. It seemed like he was a step behind. He wasn't as physical. But I think he's been really good this time around. I do understand your point, and I do think that makes a lot of sense to have a guy like him in the lineup against a Vegas. But, you know, if Dunn's healthy, he's going to be in there, I believe. If Krug's feeling okay, which last night looked like he was, then obviously he's going to be up in one of those top pairs. So I could see Mikkola sitting out, unless you got to a point in the series, two games, three games in, where there's just not enough physicality, boxing out, so on and so forth.
Blues insider Jeremy Rutherford joining us in studio for another few minutes here on 101 ESPN. JR, what do they do with Vladdy when he returns?
Well, he's going to be in the lineup if he's healthy, and you're going to need him to produce. You know, I know that we've criticized Tarasenko this year for not being engaged. I felt like the few games before he went out with the injury, he was looking better. But you know what? Skating more and being involved, that's what's required of you. That shouldn't be something that you get patted on the back for. His role is to score, and he needs to score. And we can take into account everything he said the last time he spoke publicly, is that the timing has taken a lot longer than he thought it would. Look, now, after missing more games, that's probably going to be a little tougher. But at some point, if he's going to be in the lineup and they deem him healthy, he's got to help this team score.
I think the same thing can be said about Jaden Schwartz and Braden Schenn.
Yep.
Braden Schenn and Schwartz do a lot of different things for this team that are so noticeable, but they're goal scorers. And if you're not getting that production from them, then they're not helping this team. I'm just wondering how they get them going, because they've tried an awful lot. They put them with Bozak. They went back with Kyrou. They went with Tarasenko. They've split them up. They put them back together. It just seems they're not getting an awful lot from either of those guys.
No,
they're
not. Fewer goals than Blay this year.
Yeah. Wow. And that's not the first time we've seen that from Jaden Schwartz in terms of especially the regular season and the inconsistency, you know, go 15 games without a goal and then have two in the same game. Alex, you nail it on the head. They have to get something from Jaden Schwartz. And Braden Shen, to me, he is a fun player to watch. It seems like that he's always involved and he's doing other things, even if he's not scoring. But there again, you can't separate a guy like Shen and Schwartz from Tarasenko and say it's okay if they don't score because they're doing other things. They have to score. And so that's why I go back to, regardless of who you play, Colorado or Vegas, you know, you got to believe that they're not going to be, you know, remotely considered nationally to be able to win one of those series.
I think you said it was like a 0.7% chance of them getting through the first round.
I don't know about the first round, but I know MoneyPuck does all of those numbers on who's most likely to reach and then win the Stanley Cup, right?
Oh, okay,
and
the
Blues,
cup.
The Blues had the lowest odds of winning the Cup this year. They were at 0.1%, and I'm guessing, I haven't read why that is, but my guess is it's because, I mean, two of the top three teams, I think, were Vegas and Colorado,
well, and
so
I think
it's going to be really tough to get out of this
division. I think if I remember looking at the MoneyPuck the other day, the Blues had the lowest percentage chance of any team getting through the first round
sense,
in the playoffs.
They're guaranteed to play one of Colorado or
teams.
Vegas, and those are the teams that are most likely to make the Cup.
Yeah, so in 10 days, guys, if we're looking at the stats, the Blues stats page, and it's showing Jaden Schwartz with no goals and Braden Shen with one goal, I don't care what else happens in the series, you know, you're not going to be able to come away with that.
We're talking to Jeremy Rutherford here on 101 ESPN. JR, earlier today, you at The Athletic put out an article along with a bunch of your other colleagues on, hey, you know, Jack Eichel looks like he could be available via trade this summer. Is he somebody that would fit? You guys went through a bunch of teams around the league. The Blues were one. You wrote up the comments in that. Do you think he makes sense for the Blues? And if so, what do you think it would take to acquire a guy like Jack Eichel, who's making $10 million over like the next 6 years?
Yeah. So when Eichel does a Zoom yesterday with the Buffalo media, and, you know, I didn't see the Zoom, but I saw the comments, and he said, yeah, there's a bit of a disconnect, and, you know, wherever, I just want to be ready to play wherever I play. Why can't I get one of those Zooms?
Because people are happy here.
Yeah. No, obviously,
can't
Blues.
You get the A-bombs from these players on the Zooms.
Yeah, the Blues obviously don't want those types of Zooms. But so I knew that, check your email, because it's coming any second from The Athletic. They're going to ask, does your team have interest in Jack Eichel? And you know what? They limited us to a couple categories. Is it, are you a front-running team for Jack Eichel? And then the other categories were no assets, no cap space, or the last one, is he not an option whatsoever? I couldn't get myself to say that he's not an option whatsoever. It's Jack Eichel, right?
Sure.
But it doesn't make sense from the Blues' perspective in terms of he's a $10 million player. You know, they have cap issues. They don't have a lot of assets to trade, which is what Buffalo is going to want. But to me, what stands out the most is you have Ryan O'Reilly, 2 years left on his deal. Braden Shen, I get it. You can move him to the wing, but he plays well in the middle. Robert Thomas, you haven't given up on him yet, I don't think. I think it's a situation where you're pretty good up the middle. And could Jack Eichel help all 31, 32 teams in the league? For sure. But to me, he doesn't make a ton of sense for the Blues.
Follow-up question for you. What if, we know Buffalo, they're doing something different.
BK wants Jack Eichel. He wants him.
He's awesome. If they called you, and I put you in Doug Armstrong's shoes in a hypothetical scenario, and they were like, hey, JR, we're willing to trade you Jack Eichel. You got to take on this entire contract. It's $10 million per season. But we want Robert Thomas in return. We want Jordan Kyrou in return. We want Scott Perunovic in return. And we want a first-round pick each of the next 2 years in return. Is that something where you'd be like, okay, you know, it's a lot to give up, but for Jack Eichel, maybe that's worth it for us?
So when I say no, here's the reasoning. I would not do that. And people might think you're silly, but the Blues don't have a ton of assets. So let's just say, you know, you can't predict things like Eichel getting hurt, but if he's out, you know, the Blues need multiple players playing well. They need the Kyries, they need the Thomases, they need the Perenoviches to come in and step in. So, you know, maybe you get a year out of Jack Eichel where he's not up to snuff, he scores 18 goals and he didn't produce. Well, not only, you know, are you losing it at that position, you're losing it at two or three other positions. And also, what other trade possibilities are going to come up down the pipeline where maybe you can trade a Jordan Kyrou straight up for a guy who's going to come in and help you? Well, you don't have him anymore because you just moved three guys. So to me, I can understand where Buffalo would be talking about a package that size. And if you're the Blues or any team around the league, you think to yourself, yeah, you know, that could work for a star player like Eichel. But to me, with the situation the Blues are in, it's way too much to give up.
And I think Jack Eichel, too, it's an interesting dynamic because you got the injury that has gone into place with the herniated disc where he's basically saying Buffalo kind of told them to delay the surgery with it, so you don't know what the recovery would look like. And then the $10 million is what gets me, and that's just not the way Doug Armstrong runs his team.
It's also no. Like no movement clause, too, at the back end of that deal. And we've seen him trade for contracts like that before, but he did not want to give that to Alex Pietrangelo. It's tough to trade for a guy that has it when you just let your captain
walk. And it's just the $10 million thing where, I mean, Doug Armstrong has always spoke about JR, like, you know, we don't want to have one player who runs the team. We want an entire team that's kind of built together. And look, the highest paid payers, $7.5 million for O'Reilly and Tarasenko, and everyone else is right underneath.
Yeah, and two things, you know, one on O'Reilly, he's got two more years left on his deal. He's early 30s. I don't know that he's done after that deal. You could probably get a couple more years out of Ryan O'Reilly for sure, right? And then Robert Thomas, he doesn't make anything. You have to have players with that kind of upside who don't make anything to make the cap work. So it just, the whole situation doesn't seem to make sense with, like what Alex is saying here, what Doug Armstrong has preached, you know, the past 10 years and their cap situation.
I know we're going to have a ton of time to do this in the offseason, JR, so I don't want to throw a bunch at you, but what do you think this Blues team is going to be looking at in the offseason? Like, given, I mean, we're basically through the regular season now, at least meaningful games. What did you not see this year from the Blues that they need to look at potentially acquiring in this offseason?
Yeah, I think, they got to play this postseason series and see how it looks and what's it look like.
Absolutely.
You know, they could play well and you think, okay, well, maybe there's not as many questions as we thought there was. But to me, regardless of what happens, I do think, they've got to figure out something with the defense. I think they need some more beef back there. And, if it's Mikkola in the future, maybe it's him, but I think you probably got to bring somebody else in and just help that group out. The biggest thing is playing collectively together and coming out and helping each other, getting the puck out of the zone. That's definitely something that they need to be better at. But I think physicality, clearing the box out, things like that is where this Blues defense needs some help.
Let me give you a player, JR.
Yeah.
Because I've been talking about this player. You know, I might even go so far as Mr. 95% again with this one.
You
probably
might as well
not.
At this
probably
point.
Not. Jamie Oleksiak,
yeah.
Dallas Stars. Guy's 6'5", beefy like you've just talked about, but he can score some goals as well. This is a guy that I've always liked, but he's with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I saw that highlight reel goal. So he was not re-signed before the deadline,
correct,
right? So he'll be UFA.
He's unrestricted, and he only makes $2.1 million this year. Now, Jamie, we were talking with Jamie about this yesterday, and he said you're going to be looking at a guy who's going to probably be asking for somewhere north of $3 million. Doug Armstrong might not want that for a bottom-pairing defenseman, but I look at a Jamie Oleksiak and I say, this guy might not be a bottom-pairing defenseman because he's a left-handed shot, which would fit well with your team right now.
Yeah, and I checked in with the Dallas writer around the time of the trade deadline, and he said Dallas really likes him. He was kind of surprised they couldn't get a deal done. That just shows that, you know, the asking price is a little bit more than Dallas wants to pay at the moment, so it's probably going to be pretty rich. But, you look at the size, you look at the skill, I think he could help this group.
Just ruined my dreams, Jared.
What I just heard, actually, was, go ahead and write it in stone. Jamie Oleksiak will be a Blue next year.
You know what? This is why we work together. You're the ultimate optimist.
255-pound defenseman. Go ahead and put that
monster
on my Blue. Yeah, and I want that guy.
I've been listening to this 95% Arenado thing for
two years.
So
that's
is there like a statute of limitations? Are you still right when it takes like 2 years for it to happen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know how this works, Jared?
Yeah, no, Jared, when I made Mr. 95% prediction, I gave myself the loophole and I said, I don't care if it's the last year of his career. And he says, I want to go play in St. Louis. That is 95% true that he was going to come to St. Louis, and he is in St. Louis.
I said that Matt Carpenter was eventually going to start hitting. He did. He hit a home run, and then he hit a bunt single, and so I'm right.
And then went 0-for-18 in his next four games.
We don't talk about that part. That's not important.
This is
how sports radio works. JR, thanks for hopping on with us, man.
Anytime, guys.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.